I'm Susan Montanaro, and you're listening to Dreams and Detours, a show about the life we plan to have versus the one we're living, for better or not. Everybody has a story, and I believe we find ourselves in each other's stories.
Hi, it's Susan Montanaro. In a recent episode, I talked about being stuck, mostly in a marriage or a relationship, and how staying there creates a new normal for our body, brain, and behavior. I also shared how it can blind us from picking up on red flags, which is that gut feeling we get warning us maybe we shouldn't be in this situation. I received so many texts and emails about that episode, from flat out, "Oh my God, that's my life," to, "I didn't realize that was actually happening to me until I listened." A few friends even asked if I was talking specifically about them. The answer is mostly no, and a little bit of yes. I would never share or violate someone's privacy, of course. I do, however, observe many lives, both in my personal and professional space, and I feel a strong pull to talk about pervasive patterns in relationships. The human condition and how we interact with others and with ourselves is my obsession. It is this reason that I am a psychotherapist. So let's dig into the snowball effect of being rooted in a place or relationship that isn't healthy, and how bad habits are formed as a result of compensating for the discomfort. I'll use the broken marriage since it's the most common place people tend to stay too long. When I say stay too long, I'm referring to the fractured marriage where no one is doing any real work to repair and reunite, or to dissolve by way of divorce. Let me tell you a story about Jill and Ken, married 19 years with 3 kids. Early in the marriage, communication started to break down. They both have busy careers with long days and 3 kids within the first 5 years, which means constant juggling to ensure the children are fed, bathed, and get to school, among other activities. It's a lot and requires both Jill and Ken to create a plan to divide and conquer. Except that didn't happen. They were winging it and building up resentment toward one another instead. Ken wanted to help in his way on his time, and Jill felt he was inconsistent, and no amount of yelling or name-calling was bringing them closer. Of course not. Once they shift from working together to working against each other, they lose the entire point of the situation while alienating one another. Children and family life are now jeopardized as they constantly bicker. It becomes a hell ride as 2 adults compete for the prize of being right. It's possible Jill and Ken didn't even have enough love for one another to push their egos aside, or perhaps deeper, there's trauma from historical exposure to their own parents fighting, and that might be dominating their reactions. Either way, the persistent breakdown of the family unit, not just the couple, sinks them further into the ground. So how do Jill and Ken manage to stay married all this time, living under the same roof? He moves out of the marital bedroom, and that becomes a major demarcation in the relationship. It says, "You have your space and I have mine," like an invisible cement wall. To be clear, this is not simply a decision about where each of them sleeps, nor is it a declaration that says, "I am not engaging in sex with you anymore." What it does say is that I will not share myself with you, not my intimate space, my bad breath, or my vulnerability any longer. It's the silent fuck you. Moving down the hallway might feel like a big badass gesture, but it's actually confusing to everyone, especially their kids. What's the point if no other real effort to reconcile is being made? So the grunting life continues, passing one another, saying as little as possible, maybe a bit more when it relates to their children. The nasty behavior doesn't stop. the name calling continues, along with ugly friction. Jill and Ken will live separately, yet under the same roof, tethered by their marriage certificate. Years go by, they continue to fight over the responsibility of the kids, the household, and nitpicking at every turn. Because resentment is like a budding seed blooming that they water each time they are in the same room together. So what has this meant over the years? Neither of them ever make special plans or have date night. No cooking a special meal together or fantasizing about the other. Birthdays, anniversaries, holidays are for the kids only. So no one gets to practice playfulness, flirting, affection, or even adventure. There are no love songs, little notes left behind to bring a smile, no flowers or massages or sweetness of any kind. No one is practicing romance. However, they are putting in a lot of hours one-upping each other on being mean and thoughtless, staying angry and unkind. Jill and Ken perfect the art of snide remarks and hateful looks. For over 15 years, they put regular time into being the worst version of themselves. That initial snowball, it's like the size of Mount Everest now. Here's the thing. You know that silent, uncomfortable energy you can feel when you're with someone? Well, it's the same when it's awesome, meaning the energy we give off or experience impacts us in a good or bad way. It's entirely up to you. Can you imagine what it's like to be a coworker of Jill or Ken? How about a friend or a sibling? And let's not forget those who suffer the most, their children. What kind of role modeling has taken place for them? It's never just about the two of them. We are always impacting others through connection, whether in the same room or not. Those are some pretty bad habits, and it doesn't have to stay that way. Everyone gets the chance to change if they want to. This will be especially important if either of them wants to find love again. It won't be different if you stay the same, because the alternative is to gaslight the next person and hold on to your ego, your inability to trust, or your capability to be vulnerable. That's what bringing your crap from one house to another looks like. New person, old behaviors. Staying too long and acquiring bad habits happens to both people. Make no mistake about that. And it's the gift that keeps giving with the kids in the mix. So when we say communication is one of the most vital aspects of a relationship, you can see how true that is. It's not about always agreeing. It's about feeling safe to say whatever you need to share and work together for an outcome that makes sense for both people. No one should be shamed or belittled, so nip that at once if it happens and find tools or seek counseling. Support and guidance goes a long way. I love talking about relational dynamics because so often we are missing out on more love, more fun, and it doesn't have to be that way. I welcome you to share your thoughts with me on this. As always, be kind to yourself. Look after each other, and thanks for listening.
That's it for this episode of Dreams and Detours. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe and share it with your friends. You can find me at dreamsdetours.com and at dreamsdetours on Instagram. Thanks for listening.